welcome everyone to the Sports Review. We're just having a few technical difficulties again. I'm going to have to put on a bit more music and let the promo play while I'll try and get AJ Wetton on the line and to talk about the Bettislow Cup. So I apologise for this. We are just having some technical difficulties, which is very, very frustrating for me. So I will... I'll try and keep it going for you. We'll see what we can do, and we'll back to you very, very soon. Welcome everyone to the Sports Review. As I said, we're just having a few technical issues, so I'm trying to get hold of AJ Wetton. Fantastic weekend. I had in Auckland. Unfortunately, I've been laid up all weekend. I've had a bit of a stomach upset, so it's possibly not been too good for me health-wise. But I was able to go out and watch a bit of rugby over the weekend. I watched the Eden Lizards versus the Ponsonby Herne Bay Hustlers in the National 85's restricted competition. Fantastic game. Eden were down 19-0 at one point, but in the end won 33-19. Fantastic effort by Eden, but real good effort by Ponsonby. Going to have a bit of a crack at the Auckland Rugby Union. Before the Auckland-Tasman match, I don't know what the curtain raiser was, but that match really, and no wider matter, thank you for hosting that, that match should have been played at Eden Park. I think you would have got a few more spectators along, because believe me, there were more spectators, I believe, probably out there watching that game than there was watching the Auckland-Tasman game. So that's my thoughts. Election, congratulations to the Prime Minister. She has been given a mandate for another term. Also, so there was a bit of Jacinda mania going on Saturday, a bit of Chloe mania in central Auckland. But on Sunday, we had a bit of Caleb Clark mania. Fantastic game by the young chap. Great to see his father there, Ronnie, watching the match. So, yeah, it was a great weekend. Give me a second, guys. I'll just play a bit of music and we'll just try and get AJ on the line very quickly.
sugar, honeysuckle and great expression of happiness. Boy, you could not miss with a dozen roses. Such would astound you, but your children laughing around you. These are the makings of you. It is true, the makings of you. It's been a miracle for what you've done. Please stay right by my side. Two can be one for the righteous. Way to go. Anyone would know. I believe, I thought I told you so. You're second to none. Reflect some shine of the words I'm trying to recite. They're close, but not quite.
Sorry, everyone, we're just going to have to flag AJ Wheaton now. I'll try and get back to AJ. It's a bit of a disappointment. We're just having a few technical issues. Okay, we'll just try and talk about some of the match highlights for me. Really impressed by the All Black Loose trio of Sam Kane, Artie Sevier and Shalom Frizzell. Really great dominance in there. Very impressed with Alex Hodgman. Really made a great impression when he was on. Also, I was quite impressed with Bowden Barrett's injection into the line. And, of course, we've already spoken about Caleb Clark. Awesome, but I really want to see him with some outside ball. We also had Hawke's Bay versus Northland. I watched that game at home. And it looks like AJ might be back. So let's see what the issue is. So, yeah. So, just on that match, it was a fantastic match. And okay, listen, I'll just try and get back to AJ Wheaton. This is going to be a shorter than expected show. So, I'm sorry for all the muck ups today. It's stuff out of my control. I'm going to try one more time. Okay, cheers.
Every day we meet on any old street, and you're in your girliest prime. The short and the tall are coming to the ball. I go there all of the time. Behind every tree, there's something to see. The river is wider than a mile. I tried you twice. You can't be nice. I'm gonna have to put you down for a while. Here comes the nurse with money and a purse. Here come the ladies and men. You push it all in, and you've no chance to win. You play them on down to the end. Laying in the sand, getting a sunshine tan, moving along, brightening style. From my toes to my head, you're knocking me dead. I'm gonna have to put you down for a while. I count the years and I shed no tears. I'm blinded to what might have
been. Well, that was a bit of Bob Dylan, I believe. And, of course, we've got a bit of an old legend ourselves, a man who knows a lot about Bettislow Cup tests. AJ Wheaton, how are you, mate? Looks like we've lost AJ.
You as fine as wine. I ain't a-handing you no line. you down for a while. All the merry little elves can go hang themselves. My faith is as cold as can be. I'm stacked high to the roof, and I'm not without proof. If you don't believe me, come see. You think I'm blue? I think so too. In my words, you'll find no guile. The game's gotten older, the deck's gone cold, and I'm gonna have to put you down for a while. The game's gotten older, the deck's gone cold, I'm gonna have to put you down for a while.
Well, my daddy, he stood at the foot of the stairs. He was calling to me at the time, but I knew even then I could die for the thoughts that I kept in the back of my mind. But I dared not to speak how I felt for my dad, 'cause there were no words to define this ball of confusion, of feelings and stuff that I kept in the back of my mind. So I took to the highway, kept to myself, just looking and hoping to find some solutions, some answers, some way to exist with all the stuff in the back of my mind. So I took me a job, and I took me a wife, and I took to a bottle of wine. And it did not take long till all I had left was just junk in the back of my mind.
Okay, everyone, we did have AJ for a minute, but we've lost him. So I do apologise. It isn't probably going as well as it is today. I'm not having a hell of a, I would say I'm probably having a bit, I'm having a National Party moment, so we might as well get on to it. But Hawke's Bay had a great win, 33-17 over Northland. Ash Dixon, 100 games, scores a try. The halfback, Fokitava, very good player, mate. Really has fantastic speed, had a lot of turnovers. Auckland are back on top of the Premiership. They had a 31-10 win over Tasman. Good result for them. The wingers, AJ Lamb and Ray Arcee, look really, really good. Wellington are back on track, 25-10 win over North Harbour. Waikato had a last-minute penalty by a fellow called Ray Hanna, but he is not related to Bruce Ray Hanna. 16-15 win over Canterbury. And Otago, 40. Counties Manukau, 22. So that's where that was at. So obviously we'll be looking forward to next week, which will be Labour Weekend. So we'll be here live. Hopefully we can get AJ back or someone else back, so to give us a bit of a kick on to move on the show. And of course, then we've got a bit of NRL coming up. And I'll tell you something, I'm really looking forward to next weekend. Labour Weekend, long weekend of... usually, a lot of people will be going on holiday, but I won't. I might be heading to Wellington in a few weeks' time, but I'll let my buddy in Wellington know, Mr. McNeice. I'll be moving on to Frank Endicott, some an in the next minute, and we'll be just talking a bit of NRL, and we'll be talking about Melbourne and Penrith. Wow, that's the final we've all picked. So I'll just move on to that right next. So sorry, everyone, we've had a bit of a truncated show today, but hey, that's live radio. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. I am hoping that we don't have these issues next week. So we'll just move to a bit of music, and then Frank.
Diversity on air, online, on demand, with funding support through New Zealand On Air.
Okay, next weekend, Labor Weekend Sunday. Make sure you're going to watch this game, because this one is going to be an absolute cracker of a game. It's going to be the Storm versus the Panthers. Now, this person has called it more or less from day one. His name is Frank Endicott, ex-Kiwis coach, ex-Warriors coach, ex-Wigan coach. And I have to say, good afternoon, Frank. How are you going, mate?
Very good, thanks, Amon. Can't wait for this one next week, though.
Oh, it's going to be a cracker, Frank. I think that I actually think that this one is going to be a real good one. You called it, so we might as well move on to the games that started over the weekend. Melbourne, just that too good, just that much power for Canberra. Really, some of the thoughts I got out of the game was Jerome Hughes. You know, I listened to a couple of the experts in the NRL, and they said Jerome Hughes is the old man out because he's not really a scrum half, but he had a absolutely awesome game. Then you've got the two Cams, Smith and Munster. Great to see Cameron Munster back there, but Jesse Bromwich had a really powerful game. And of course, from Raiders side, I felt Papali was good and Bateman was good. Williams tried his best. Whiten didn't fire. What were your thoughts, Frank?
Well, it was the first 10 minutes, really, or the first 20, but the first 10 minutes from Melbourne was nothing short of devastating. Three tries in that first 10 minutes, and then at halftime, they were leading, 24-6 at halftime. I mean, that was a performance that if they put the same performance on next week, I don't believe Penrith, as good as they are, can foot it with them. It was just pressure, pressure, pressure. The first half won it for them, then they held on strong in the second half. Jerome Hughes, I agree, was the most outstanding player. He set up three tries. The combination, again, that I keep saying every week of Adukar and Pappenhausen, it's nothing short of brilliant. And I thought the forwards were excellent to a man. I thought Cameron Munster was very quiet, but that was expected coming back from that knee injury. I didn't even expect him in there.
Yeah, well, neither did I, but he's obviously just warming into that grand final. But, watched that game, and I felt that, Pappenhausen, well, we always mentioned, was fantastic. And, of course, the old Fox, Adukar, really, you know, you have a look at that Melbourne side, they're really going to have, and they've really, really got such a fantastic side at the moment. I felt a bit sorry for Canberra. I felt Papali, he's still a beast, you know. They were trying to hold on to him for a while.
I didn't think Canberra played bad, mate. They were just blitzed by the best performance of the year from a team like Melbourne. They were stiff. They were stiff to get Melbourne in that form, because they never give it away, Canberra, and they come back and scored a couple of late ones. You know, Kotrick, the winger, he's a strong winger going to the Bulldogs next year. He scored two. You know, it was, I felt a little sorry for Canberra, actually, that they actually drew Melbourne, and especially in the form they're in.
Absolutely, Frank. Hey, listen, then we move on to the Saturday night game, which I did, what was flicking in between that and the election, would have been Penrith versus Souths. Isaac Yeo, you know, and a really good, GC, he was brilliant, wasn't he? He just...
Yeah, he was, Amon. And you know, with their top forward, Viliama Kikau, out, someone had to stand up. And I thought he stood up brilliantly. You know, he's a good physique for a forward, isn't he, a back rower. And, yeah. You know, he comes through and he took that final kick from halfback Cleary, I think, to win that game, didn't he? Was it him that took that final kick?
Yeah.
I think it was. Yeah. Played very well, mate, all round. And, you know, as did the whole Penrith. I mean,
I have to say, Coruscant.
17 wins in a row. Yeah, I mean, unbelievable.
I tell you, Epi Coruscant, really, some of his running from dummy half was quite effective. And, you know, he was playing against a guy who is Damien Cook, who is the number, who is the hooker for New South Wales. And many are saying that Coruscant is an outside pick for whether he wants to commit to New South Wales this year to play State of Origin.
Yeah, well, you know, I expected more from Cook, to be honest with you. I was disappointed with him because he was the one weapon that could have turned the game for Souths, and he never really came up with it as good as he had in previous weeks. If he's going to play State of Origin, he's going to have to put a bit more into it, but he's certainly capable, that's for real.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, I had a look at it. Apart from Cam Murray and maybe Reynolds, nobody really fired a shot. The defence of Penrith was fantastic, and, you know, Cleary and Luai were shut down, but I have to say, they actually, you know, they still did enough. They still made those crucial breaks. They still were able to get the balls to their wingers and Brian Teo and guys like that who are probably going to be, you know, crucial. Now, we might as well move on to this grand final. I tell you something, Frank, this is going to be a tough one to call.
I don't think so. I know what you're saying. I've already put my bet on. I put my bet on about 10, 15 minutes after the game the other night.
You've gone for Melbourne, haven't you?
I've gone the Storm. And I tell you why. South didn't play to their best or anywhere near it. They tried hard, but the mistakes that they made was unbelievable, and they gave Penrith plenty of ball, and they still only won by 4 points. And those tries come from kicks. I just think Melbourne's got too much firepower there to throw at them.
They certainly have, and I think that one of the things is that I looked at them, and like they've got some great power, but, you know, you can't run off this Penrith side. It's a very young side. They've got a lot of confidence. But they haven't, I think, you know, they were challenged a bit in this game, and they have been challenged since they've come into the final series. Now, whether they've still got, whether the belief is still there, I believe the belief Ivan Cleary has installed in these young players, I believe that they'll win. And I think they're going to be a dominant force for a number of years to come.
Oh, I agree with that, and they've certainly got a chance of winning. They've won 17 straight, and not only that, they beat Melbourne Storm in round 6 this year. So you're absolutely correct. They can, of course, they can win. They can win. Do I think they'll win? No.
Okay. Well, I'm going to put my money on Penrith. I might as well. It's becoming a losing battle with you, Frank Endicott. Now you will. Now, of course, you will be available on Labor Day, where we'll really do a real good wrap on this NRL final. You'll be watching it at home, will you, or you'll be out at a rugby league club watching it, or?
No, I'll be watching it at home. I'll have a few around and, really enjoy the day because it's something, you know, this will be a special final. You got deservedly the best two teams in there, and that's the way it should be in a grand final. I just think I wouldn't miss it for quids. This is going to be a beauty.
And I think when we look back at it, it's like so many you know, usually around this time of the year, when people would be away watching the grand final. Obviously, COVID has basically put a hold on this, and hopefully next season we can basically, we'll be able to travel there for a grand final. I'd love to. I haven't been to a NRL grand final, and I'd love to go to one.
Oh, look, I went last year to the Roosters Canberra one, and I've been to many, many grand finals. And I tell you what, it's, if you're a rugby league person or a sporting person, you need to go there and just see what it's like. It's a terrific atmosphere. Great day of football. You wouldn't be disappointed.
Yeah, well, it's something to look in the future. So we'll probably be giving you a call on Labor Day. Make sure you don't have too many lime reds or spates down there. And we'll be having a chat. This will be our final. And, of course, then we'll just review that final. I'm actually picking that the clash in the halves is going to be very interesting. But, oh, that Melbourne forward pack is just, it's so dominant.
Both forward packs are going good, aren't they? And I can't wait to see them go at each other. I think there'll be some real intensity in the between the two forward packs. And I agree with you. I think the half combinations are Cleary and Luai, and who are going great up against Hughes and Munster. You don't get it better than that. And I think a lot of it's going to revolve around the kicking game of the two. And Cleary's kicking game's spot on at the moment, but so's Jerome Hughes.
Yep, it certainly is. Well, we'll be talking about this on Labor Day, on the Labor Day special here on the Sports Review. So thanks a lot, Frank, and we will definitely be having a bit of a chat during the week, maybe trying to have a few bets on the game. So, ladies and gentlemen, that was Frank Endicott, and next up we'll have Brenda McNeice.
Oh, I've seen trouble on my day. Place where I was born and raised, the place where he was born and raised. For 6 long years I've been in trouble, no pleasure here.
Well, that was a bit of music and, of course, a bit of football over the weekend. So there were a couple of derbies, which, you know, interesting. The Old Firm derby, the Merseyside derby. There was the Liverpool-West Ham game, which was fantastic. And here to talk about it, as he does every Monday, Brendan McNeice, how are you?
Oh, no, I'm licking my wounds here. And of course, you were mentioned there were three big derbies over the weekend. The Liverpool derby, London derby, and, of course, the Glasgow derby. And if you like, we'll get the Glasgow derby over and done with. Celtic, obviously, devastated with coronavirus. Four starters out with coronavirus and three injuries. So, if Rangers were ever going to beat Celtic at Parkhead, this was their opportunity. They took full advantage of it.
Yeah,
and beat Celtic deservedly 2-0, which really now puts the title race now on a knife edge going forward. But the thing about the Glasgow derby, it's the only thing that sort of reminds me of the vitriol that the All Blacks often suffer for. When the All Blacks are imperious in world rugby, and they lose one game, it sacked the coach, and it's exactly the same in Glasgow. Celtic have won the last 11 domestic titles, but yet there's been calls for Lee Lennon to be sacked after one loss. So it's a funny old game, isn't it?
It certainly is, and of course, when I had a look at some of the highlights, I have to say that Rangers were all over Celtic, and whether some of my Celtic mates may not like me saying this, but I spoke to a few Celtic supporters, and they actually said it wouldn't have surprised them if Rangers had beaten them, but, you know, as they'd have said, you know, the coronavirus, no crowds, but, you know, everyone is suffering the same thing, Brendan. But talking about a game that was actually a real, real exciting one, Liverpool-Everton. Was it a goal or wasn't it?
Look! The thing about it is that it's been somewhat overshadowed by the Virgil van Dijk injury. Jordan Pickford, what was he thinking? It was an absolute brutal tackle. And he's put potentially, arguably, the best centre-back in the world out for 8 months, Virgil van Dijk, and even the ever-ebullient Jurgen Klopp was completely devastated by this, and it'll have a major impact on where the this is going, because Virgil van Dijk is a rock at back for Liverpool, and it'll be a massive, massive loss to have him out for the rest of the season. And how the VAR didn't pick up that tackle, because it was akin to the Eric Cantona kung fu tackle on the fan at Crystal Palace.
Well, to me, they should have gone for VAR, and he should have been sent off.
There's absolutely no doubt about that. And they said some of the Liverpool fans actually went on Twitter and said the good news is that Jordan Pickford's so bad of a goalkeeper that the good news is that he didn't get a red card.
They've actually probably got a point there. Anyway,
there is talk around Goodison that the number two goalkeeper is really pushing Pickford for his place, and that certainly won't do anything to cement his place. And there's also, they're looking at giving him a 3-match retrospective ban for that tackle, and I think he completely and utterly deserves it. It was a completely reckless, brutal challenge.
Well, that could really affect Liverpool's chances of going back-to-back. Some of the other games over the weekend, Manchester City had a 1-0 win over Arsenal. Manchester United had a 4-1 win over Newcastle. Now,
I'll just keep you there, Eamon. That scoreline somewhat flattered Manchester United.
It certainly did. They scored three goals and two or three goals. So, yeah, it definitely did flatter them. And I'll be straight to the point. I'm not. If they make the top four, it will be a miracle. But the game that really caught my attention was the Spurs West Ham game. 3-0. And I know, you know, West Ham, people tend to forget that West Ham has a lot of big support in New Zealand. And, you know, West Ham just stole it at the end. 3-0.
Absolutely. It's been a crazy topsy-turvy, loopy-loopy-loo season so far. There's been all sorts of crazy results, and I can't get to the bottom of it. But, like, when have you ever seen a Jose Mourinho team go 3-0 up and then draw 3-all? Like, even that just doesn't happen in the real world, you know what I mean? Because Jose Mourinho's parked more buses than Richie.
Bet on more buses than Reg Varney, yeah. very, very good. This is why I have you on this show. Not for your expertise on football, but for your humour. Anyway, second on the table, well, Everton are leading the table. Second on the table are Aston Villa. A Ross Barkley goal against Leicester.
Against Leicester. Look, this is, you know, when we're saying, you know, crazy season. Like, who's seen Aston Villa coming?
I actually picked them to probably be battling out for relegation, but you have a look at it, they've signed well. They've got Barclay from Chelsea, they've got the former Irishman, now Englishman, Jack Grealish.
Mm-hmm.
So they've actually got a really good side. This young kid, Watkins, looks really good. So I know there'll be a few Villa fans out there will be probably thinking, they weren't expecting this, and how long can they keep it going? But some of the other results over the weekend, Crystal Palace had a had a 1-1 draw with Brighton Hove Albion. Sheffield United 1, Fulham 1, Chelsea 3, Southampton 3.
I know. Lampard actually, you know, spent more money, during the summer than basically any other team in Europe. And Lampard, like, he must be checking under his pillows and his blankets in the middle of the night to make sure that Obrovich hasn't put a horse's head in there, because this is just not good enough. Like, for to go out and spend, you know, hundreds of millions of pounds and actually not deliver results and then, you know, have the likes of Southampton pump three past you when you've shored up the back line. It is just, I would say Lampard, along with Pep, are my two sort of favourites to get in the sack race. And I know City had a win, but I'm just not convinced about Manchester City or Chelsea at this stage.
I have to say, yeah, I'm beginning to agree with you there. I think we could have a very different top four. I think we're probably looking at Liverpool, Manchester City, Everton, maybe even Tottenham, maybe someone like a Villa coming into this top four contention. So, yeah, so that tomorrow's games are West Brom versus your favourite team, Burnley.
Burnley.
And Leeds versus Wolves.
What's that,
Eben? Leeds are playing Wolverhampton Wanderers. You know, Wolverhampton, they're playing the Orange Bruno.
Game.
Yeah. But like you know, when you go to a fancy dress party. Oh, no, I didn't mean to say that on here. But I have to say that, so there's going to be some good football coming up, and, of course, we don't have to go through the migraine for a while of the Nations League, which is a waste of time, as we agree. But while we're heading into summer now, we're going to find out, we may speak a bit of our National League as well, too, here in New Zealand.
Absolutely. Let's keep the home fires burning there's lots of football over the weekend, and of course we've had a landslide in the election. We've got the American elections coming up, and it's all going. The world's a changing and funny place.
It certainly is, and of course we may have had Jacinda mania, Chloe mania, now we've got McNeese mania. It should not get confused with McNeese and maniac.
Mad as a snake. And the thing is that it normally takes about 3 or 4 days for me to after a defeat by Rangers to get my mojo back. But I should have it back by the weekend. And when I say hello to Arthur Guinness.
Now, I'll just let you know that I might be coming down on the 30th of October, so I will be in touch, so we can chew the fat. Oh, we might be going down for my old mate, the old Colonel, so I might introduce you to him and tell him what a nice bloke you really, really are, and tell a few lies. Anyway, Brendan, you have a wonderful week. We'll catch up. You'll be available on Labor Day Monday, of course.
Absolutely, absolutely. For this show's a priority in my life.
Okay, I bet your wife's so pleased to hear that. Thank you very, very much, ladies and gentlemen. As per usual, he entertains us. He gives us also a bit of football. So there he is, Brendan McNeese. Have a great day, Brendan.
Yes, mate. Good luck, Eamon.
Right. Okay, we'll just go to a bit of music and then we'll get the panel on. Ask how we used to live the everybody gotta face their highs and their lows. And in my life, there's a love that I put aside, 'cause I was busy loving something else. And so for every little thing you hold on to, you gotta let something else go. And I wish I thought a little bit more, a little more. Now shoulda, woulda, coulda means I'm out of time. Shoulda, woulda, coulda, can't change your mind.
This time she said it was for real. She'd take him back to where it started, and he would melt her heart of steel. Life is a bitter disappointment, she would hear the young Hollis say. And if you find something more important, then I will not stand in your way. Like static on the dial, a look comes back in style. Holly and Rose, they just lost it for a while. They claimed there was no lover, there's nothing in blues for this time of year. Thinking of another, she did not see him or disappear. Like static on the dial, her look comes back in style. Holly and Rose, they just lost it for a while. Like
welcome back, everyone. We're just going to get on to our panel about the rugby. So, a very good morning to you, Sean.
Good day, mate. How are you?
Morning to you, Mark.
Afternoon to you, big guy.
How are you? I was going to say we're in Watson. We've got Watson Mania here, and of course we had it last week. And I got a few calls, but a lot of people are agreeing with you, Mark. But we might as well start it all off. The All Blacks versus the Wallabies. Have to say, good win by the All Blacks. The Wallabies are going to be very, very tough to beat once we're in Australia. I just want to grab your thoughts on the game. I'm going to start off with you, Mark. What was your thoughts?
Yeah, look, a much improved All Black performance, but I think we expected that. And boy, just how much of a fortress is Eden Park? I think what this All Black team needs to be able to do is demonstrate that they can play at that level with that level of intensity, week in, week out, game in, game out. Because I think Australia will still be a different beast in a couple of weeks in Australia. Dave Rennie, very smart man, and people shouldn't, I've got to realise just, we think New Zealand rugby sort of, rebuilding a little bit at the moment. But when you look at Australia, they've been decimated for years. And, they're in the fight and they're a genuinely good side. Look, at a personal level, absolutely thrilled for young Caleb Clark. And clearly watched him come through school. I remember actually handing out jerseys to the Manapa Grammar First 15 against Auckland Grammar back in 2016. And just looking at this young man who was a big, big kid then, And lovely to see him kick on and, see a Ronnie Clark there and the big smile on his face and just how much it means to that family and what it means to the community. Also, equally too, for Alex Hodgman, another young man I've seen come through school who, when he came on in his All Black debut, looked very good in that front row. But look, all round, just a much higher level of intensity. I still struggle a little bit with Geordie Barrett there on the wing. I'm not really sure why. And equally, too, I'd still like to see Goodyear and Anton Leonard-Brown just switched around in the midfield there. But, it was just a good day. And I know we're going to touch on the motorsport soon, but I'll throw it back over to you, Sean.
Oh, mate, look, I really, really enjoyed it. I think for years I listen to you on the radio, mate, and I sometimes disagree, often agree. I agree with you fully here in every way. I'll say it, this is a really good Wallabies team. They are tremendously well coached, and there is some serious talent on the field. I sort of said to a few mates, not too loudly, that maybe that first result could be a bit like Ireland. They come and they do a great game first up, but the second game they struggle. But Australia are better than that. But I think in the end, the game, especially early in that second half too, we saw that the All Blacks maybe superior match fitness and they can pick their moment to strike. I still wonder about all those box kicks. But I've got to say, Tom Banks for the Wallabies. I loved Caleb Clark. Just adored watching him play. But at Tom Banks, mate, he's something pretty special, I reckon.
It's interesting, isn't it, that you almost felt yesterday, even though he's only into his second test as All Black coach, that this All Black, it was almost Ian Foster's future was on the line yesterday. And, the players that have been picked, Ian's clearly the coach and ultimately the head of selectors. So, it would have been an interesting day if things hadn't have panned out as well, but I still think they are a coaching panel under pressure. And yeah, Australia are only going to get better. But look, it's good for rugby, isn't it, to have the rivalry? I never like to see the All Blacks lose, but you still like to see a contest. I found myself throughout all of yesterday really looking forward to those All Black tests. And it actually made me realise, I'm often asked, what's the sport I enjoy the most? And I've still got to say, when it comes down to it, through triathlon, through track and field, the whole lot, it's still a good All Black test. It's still the one thing that really gets me sort of, you know, excited.
But it's got to be a test, Mark. That's the thing. And that was a test in every way. And it was things about, I mean, I love seeing Bowden Barrett back out there, and you realise just how absolutely mature he is. And I tell you, and I've been actually at the field, at the ground to see it. I've got to say, Sam Kane was bloody impressive.
I have to agree with you there, Sean, because believe me, I had my questions on him. I know Mark did. I felt some of his, and that whole loose forward trio was very good. Would you agree, gentlemen?
Yes.
Yeah, I still think Shannon Brazell, I still think the jury's out on him a little bit. You know, I need to see that consistently from him week in, week out. Sam Kane, well, you know, he's really, really just stepped up in terms of the whole captaincy, and he's determined that he wants to leave his legacy. And, you know, I think yesterday we saw the form that we're seeing from Marty Sevier for the last couple of years that was missing last week. It's a big challenge for me, and Sean, it'll be interesting to get your thoughts on this. Look, we've got Caleb Clark, huge amount of media around him now. I mean, he looked very Lomu-esque, didn't he, yesterday, just 21 years of age. Look, when they arrive in Australia, the media are going to be all over this guy. The New Zealand media are going to be all over this guy. He's a young man, incredibly well brought up. He's got good family, good support around him. They are going to need to protect him. They are going to need to just look after him, because he's playing with such clarity at the moment. But then suddenly you get into the limelight like that, and things do become a bit more complicated. You become a bit of a marketing machine. You become a bit of the focal point for the team. And let's just hope they can, you know, just steady the ship a little bit there.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I think, though, he is, and you said he's very well brought up. I actually think he's probably got a head more plantable firm in his shoulders than most young players have sort of burst onto that international scene like he has. I seriously get the feeling he's going to be okay, and I don't say that for many players. I think he's humble enough to handle it and keep it in perspective. And having, you know, a dad like a Ronnie, I think he'll be given the right sort of advice. But I think you mentioned Lomu, like, sure, he doesn't have the absolute height, but the impact. And I'll tell you the other thing, I didn't talk to you last week, boys, but on Sunday, I've got to say, we mentioning Lomu, Barrett scored that try last Sunday. It's like the modern version of John Kerwin. The upright running, and every just shows he's about 3 inches taller, but I'm a bit of a rugby romantic, and so I just had to mention that bit as well.
I think these young guys, too, they just get the ball. They don't believe they're going to be tackled, are they? And the scary thing with Caleb Clark is he's still got a bit of a baby face. He still senses there's a bit more growth left in him. I just hope that, again, they don't, you know, he doesn't spend too much time in the gym. He doesn't need to get any bigger. Just maintain the speed, maintain those skills, that explosiveness off the mark, and, boy, look out the rest of the world, you know?
Have to say that there. Hey, what about Bathurst? What an exciting finish. Stop, start, but the old Giz comes through to win his first Bathurst. Sean, what was your thoughts on that?
Oh, look, the guy's the most naturally gifted driver probably on the planet, and you see it in the wet, because that's when his instinct, the difference when you haven't got grip, especially you can stay out on slicks and things like that. He is just absolute class, and the way he kept his head at the end, because Cam Waters was very quick. You just see there was just that little bit of extra class. And every lap at Bathurst, the car's dropping in weight by 3 or 4 kilos with fuel use. So the car changes its characteristic. And for Shane to set the fastest lap of the race on the second to last lap, when everything, sure, the track's rubbed right up, but that was something really impressive. Yeah, look, part of me wanted to see Scott McLaughlin, you know, sort of get rid of the hoot of last year and all the sort of the bad karma, I suppose, from last year, and head off to IndyCar with that. But I can't be happier for watching Shane win it with Garth Tander. That was just a really impressive drive. And like you say, even if motorsport isn't your thing, Bathurst is that race that, you know, it just has a habit of winning you over, the same way the Melbourne Cup. If you want to watch one horse race, that's it. And, yeah, it was really, really cool. But isn't it incredible near the end, guys? You think you're going to be dialed into the track, and sure enough, you see a few of the rookies have silly crashes right at the end just to spice things up. It's almost like they scripted it.
I mentioned earlier that, you know, the one thing I look forward to most of all sport is a good All Black test. But I do have to say there are those occasions throughout the year, and I always talk about the back nine on the final day of the majors in golf. And I think the last hour to an hour and a half of Bathurst is some of the most compelling sport as well, because of the drama, because of the safety vehicles out on the course. But you talk about sport, and it's about the top 2 inches having a sort of a headlight granite. And that's what you see with Van Gisbergen. That's what you see with Scotty McLaughlin. And it's just a credit to motorsport. It's a credit to the pathway here and whatever we're doing to identify talent, because, you know, a lot of lesser athletes would have crumbled under that pressure that Van Gisbergen was under yesterday. You know, the number of restarts. And as you mentioned, Sean, and as the commentators talked about, just how much a car can change, be sort of in the zone, and then suddenly the engine, you know, you're having to sort of slow down behind the safety vehicles, and a bit of the heat goes out of the tyres, and suddenly, you know, the engine changes its dynamic a little bit. There's no guarantees that when you restart, you're going to find that. And for Van Gisbergen, just, you know, nerves of steel. But what I also love about two of them is they wave the Kiwi flag, and they're just so damn good in front of the camera, aren't they? They're just, you know, the first thing both of them do is acknowledge their team, acknowledge their co-drivers, talk about their family, talk about the journey. And, you know, Van Gisbergen is a great example, too, of a guy who, you know, you learn how to lose before you learn how to win. I mean, that guy's had some adversity at Bathurst.
Oh, yeah, what a broken most people many times over already, but he stuck at it. And look, if anyone, you know, that's listening that hasn't watched much of that racing, you might have seen it yesterday when you have the camera in the car and they've got their gear stick, and beside that there's a couple of other sticks, and those sticks change the brake balance, if you've got more rear or front brake, and also the roll bars, how the car tilts on the corner. They can change the roll centre of where the sort of centre of gravity of the car, and all sorts of things. And so when you see them reach forward and turn something and pull a lever, they're actually adjusting the characteristics of the car for different parts of the track, and also for the way it changes. So, and, you know, Roland Dane, the team boss, commented on Shane's intelligence as a racing driver and his ability to handle the situation and make all the decisions they're making. These cars should not be doing 300 k's an hour. They're not aerodynamic masterpieces. And how they stay with their foot flat around that kink at the bottom of Comod Straight just blows me away. And I was lucky enough to go there earlier this year, guys, and you hear all people talking to you, see how stupid it is, you won't understand. And I thought, oh, yeah, whatever, okay. Oh, my God. It is, and I live in Titirangi. It is bloody steep. And, you know, again, it shouldn't be a racetrack, and that's what makes it so special.
Certainly does, and I have to say that excitement at the end, and it did feel a bit strange, Sean. I know you've been to Bathurst, having no people there. It felt a bit weird.
Yeah, the thing is, though, sure, you didn't see any of their good old mates up at the top digging out their buried, you know, cartons of beer and whatnot.
Yeah.
Have a good old day. You didn't see any of that, but that's the one thing motorsports has got away with. Formula One as well, the season is, when the race is on, the coverage is so good you can actually focus on the track and enjoy the event. It's only afterwards you notice the people aren't there. Whereas I think in the football sports and whatnot markets, actually been, you've noticed it a lot more.
Yeah, and I think results, you know, more teams are winning away, and I think that if football, it is so much harder to watch without the crowds and out the fans, particularly in the English Premier League. Sean, so Scott McLaughlin, I understand, on a plane to the United States. So what's his immediate sort of racing future with an Indy?
Mate, he's racing at St. Petersburg, Florida, which is normally the season opener for IndyCar, but now it's going to be the season finale. And obviously, Scott Dixon just needs a pretty good finish, and he's wrapped up the championship, and yeah, it's going to be pretty awesome, and it's going to happen on Labor Monday, mate. So you don't have to make an excuse to be late for work.
So So Scotty McLaughlin wins on debut, Sin finishes second, wins the championship, and it's just been a wonderful year for motorsport.
Imagine if he won on debut, as long as he didn't mess up Scott Dixon's championship. But
well, it's just
yeah, I hope he doesn't
cause Scott to crash.
Yeah, that's the thing. I would have thought he would have gone to NASCAR. It's incredible he's gone to the open wheels. And he's really had quite a touring car career. And it's quite incredible that he can go to open wheels. And that, again, shows how brilliant Scott is.
Well, that's it. So just last minute, one and a half minutes to go. Mark Watson, quickly, what's been the other highlights of the sporting weekend for you?
Look, I think you've got to look at the NRL. It just amazes me, the Melbourne Storm. How long have we been going? 2 decades now? The Melbourne Storm, in terms of what's been in the NRL, they've pretty much had a dynasty from the moment they've come in, and it just doesn't seem to be get broken at any point, which is something you don't see a lot in rugby league. And here they are in another NRL grand final against Penrith, who probably have sort of followed the road of most clubs where you tend to have a couple of good years and you find yourself in the wilderness. So, look, whatever the Melbourne Storm are doing, I think a lot of teams and a lot of clubs could probably go and have a look at their template, look at their model, and try and sort of, tap into that, because it's simply remarkable.
They shouldn't, in theory, be able to do it where they do it, should they, Mark?
No, they shouldn't, but maybe it's not the distractions.
Yeah.
I have to say that, yeah. Yeah, well, Frank Endicott's picked them to win it. I still believe Penrith would. Just a couple of wrap-ups. Obviously, Labour weekend, both you gentlemen going away on a well-deserved holiday?
I'm actually commentating water polo, so I've got the National Interclub Finals at the Millennium Institute on Monday, live on Sky Next. So that's what I'll be pretty much doing, prepping and preparing for water polo.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'll try to, but I'll be on air. So we probably won't hear from you for another week or two. But, so, Sean, will you be going away over the long weekend?
No, it's called Labour Weekend because you've got Labour waiting for you in the garden, mate. I've got a list of chores.
Oh, yeah, but you could still spare 10, 12 minutes to an old mate.
Oh, if it's to talk crap with you, mate, I'm there.
Yeah, well,
I might actually pop up to Tararangi on Sunday and go and run the Wairarua, actually, now that I know you live up there, Sean.
Yeah, he can buy you a coffee, he's very good. He always buys me coffee every time I see him, but I haven't seen him physically in 4 years, so, yeah.
If you can make it to my place, mate, the rocket's on, Mark, here you go.
Anyway, guys, I have to say thank you very, very much for coming on here. We'll try and do a catch-up. So that was our two panellists. And, of course, that's us done for today. Apologies about at the beginning. We do. Sometimes these things happen. This is why it's called live radio. But it also adds to the excitement of it. So I want to wish everyone a good week ahead. Hope, and we'll be back here on a Labor Day special.